This is your time to make your pitch.
Well, you're quite welcome to come anytime and watch it happen. But, my name is Tim Garrity, and I'm the manager of Dremel Industries in Topsail, Maine. And to start with what you said, what happens is that we buy from all scrappers in the state of Maine, New Hampshire, some in Massachusetts. Their cars to us, crushed, some uncrushed. We have an automobile shredder, 6,000 horsepower shredder, and it's unloaded off the trailers with a big grapple. It's put into an in-feed conveyor. And there's an operator that runs the shredder and the in-feed conveyor. He monitors the speed at which it goes into the shredder so that we can get it clean, get the material cleaned up. It goes through the shredder. When it comes out the other side, there's three different magnet systems, and the material goes over this magnet system so that all the steel goes in one direction. The other direction goes the waste and the non-ferrous material, which would be the plastic from the dashboards, or mush from the seats, or aluminum from the motors, or wire from the anything in the car itself. Once the steel goes in one direction, all the rest of the stuff goes another direction, and it's loaded into another separation system. It's called eddy currents, which separates the non-ferrous from the waste. And at that point, when it comes out the other end of that system there, it's a clean, unferrous material that we sell overseas. The waste is pure waste, and we send it to landfills here in the state of Maine, and they use it as cover. The steel, once it goes through the shredder itself, when it comes out, it's usually anywhere between tennis ball size, softball size piece of material. And it's stockpiled until it's ready to be transported with scrap from any dealer or construction company down and would have steel in it, and they cut it up to so we can sell it at, and that's material that would be on the spread property. Now,
let me interrupt a question. You said steel beams and stuff?
Yeah.
Does that go?
No. Would not be going through a trade. Cut them up. Yeah. We offer cars, which we get all of the steel that is unused, and we chop that size that can be sold at, and that also be stockpiled.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add to that, my name is Brian Rayback. Those activities.
And you work for Grimmel?
Yeah, I'm a member at Wood. I'm here for Grimmel tonight. All of those activities he's talking about, all the material going through the shredder, all of that occurs in Topsom. None of that is proposed for this site.
Right.
It's only what's coming out of the other side, so these softball size pieces of metal or plate steel that would come to this site here. I want to be very clear that what's going on here is really a storage and then loading operation. It's not a processing operation.
Okay. Now you've just taken care of Topsom. And you've come out the shredded softball-sized stuff, steel plates, I-beams, and so forth. I presume are loaded onto a truck with a grapple or something? Or
Mostly a bucket loader.
Bucket loader.
Yeah.
They go in a truck or rail car?
It's going in dump trailers or walk-in floor trailers. It would be brought to the site, dumped out, stockpiled in a big pile until there was enough to be sold and shipped out. Once it's sold and we've got a ship in line, we would show up, and we have our own diesel grapples. And the operators would be in the gear on the ship. We hook the grapples to the ship's gear, and we move the material from the pile to the dock in rock trucks, 35-ton Volvo rock trucks, and dump it onto the dock, to the pier. And then it's picked up from there by the grapples and put into the ships. We take the shredded material and put it on the bottom of the ship, and then after that's we get that done, then we put the other material on top of that, so that for one thing we don't cut the ship, or for another reason, for noise.
You mentioned rock truck.
Yes.
Are these those things I see in the big construction site without a tailgate?
That is correct. They're 35-ton articulated machines. our diesel and we have a bucket loader at one end picking the stuff up and put it into the body of the truck, and the drivers take it down to the dock and dump it. And then there'd be a bucket loader on the dock piling it back up to the operator get up with the grapple.
And it's loaded into the ship with ship's gear and ship's crew operating the gear?
Our crew operates the ship's gear.
Ship's gear. Thank you for the explanation of working it through. And the board have any other questions on how it goes from point A to B?
Mike? I have questions.
This is a good time to ask them while we're on subject.
Okay. It comes in a like an open truck then into Searsport?
Dump trailers.
Yeah, and none of it can be spilling on the road.
Right, sir.
Okay, is it covered? Is the top of the truck covered?
Those dump trailers are covered, yes.
Okay, so when it's dumped out in Searsport, is all of it going to be confined to the pad that Sprague has there?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, and how far from the water then will any of this pile be, approximately?
Well, 525 feet to the closest
point. Okay. And then, so, okay, all storage will be, and then how far from the water? Okay, that's my questions for right now.
I have a question. All that small, is that contained and baled somehow? Is it just loose?
It's loose. Once it comes out of the shredder, it's loose.
And it stays loose?
That's correct.
Missed one point in there, I guess. I'm making notes when I should have been listening. When you have the live bottom trailers or dump trailers go up, and they dump it on the pad, then put it in a pile.
With a magnet or with the bucket loader, a machine. We have a grapple machine and a magnet machine so that we can go up 30 feet, 40 feet high.
Okay, you said bucket loader. Okay, be bucket, magnet machine, or grapple.
That's correct.
And to make a vertical pile.
That's correct.
Can any liquids leach out of this material? I mean, is this all stuff? Is this all clean, or
this is all steel? There's no
okay. No, there's no fluids. Or,
the fluids are drained out of the vehicles before they go through the shredder.
I see.
And we have some of the number one part scrap would be could be anything from a truck frame that's cut up to an overloader. But all the fluids are drained out of these things before they are cut out.
So no material other than steel is going to arrive in Searsport?
That is correct.
None of the plastics or any of that other stuff that's in cars?
That's correct.
Okay.
And nothing is coming in by rail car?
Yes, there would be some stuff coming in by rail car.
Okay, and how would you get a rail car to the pile?
The rail runs right alongside of that pad. We would unload it right off the rail into the pad.
Okay.
The magnet would set right on the pad itself.
That'd be done with magnet.
Right.
Not grapple or bucket.
Right.
When you bring a truck in, is it one truck at a time, most likely, or more than one at a time? Generally? Are you planning? Do you know?
Yes, it would be more than one truck at a time.
Okay, and how long does it take to offload one shipment up here?
10 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
For multiple?
Per truck.
Per
truck.
When material comes to Topsom and the thing, you strip it down, you've got oil, take the oils in there, you're taking those out, all kinds of electronic switches, right? They have in there that it's supposed to eat. Like mercury and cadmium and I don't know what else.
All the mercury switches have been removed before they get to our facility.
They're removed before they.
That's correct.
Okay. When you're handling it down and spreading the stuff out, is there any possibility that, I excuse the term, some of the bad stuff, you know, gets on metal, through the shredder, and everything on there with something, whether it be petronics or, I might say, preservatives. I think you are aware of all the switches and those things, electrical stuff, that's all gone. So you wouldn't be shredding it. There wouldn't be any kind of a dust or a film would get on.
All petroleum products are drained before the vehicles go into the shredder.
Yep.
Otherwise, it would be an explosion if you had gas or something like that in it.
So the only thing that could be, I'm asking, don't try to put statements, But let's say you've ground up ferrous and non-ferrous materials in there through the shredder, and then you sort afterwards. So there could be film of non-ferrous, you know, on some of the ferrous material. Correct or not correct?
Not correct. The magnets take all the steel in one direction. So all the steel would go this way, and everything else goes this way, and go with the non-ferrous is sucked out of the waste.
What's that cleaning system like? Is that chemical or vacuum or what?
They call them. The easiest way to explain it to you is if you took two magnets and put them together, this is a series of magnets inside a drum. And when a piece of aluminum goes over, it will repel it, whereas a piece of rubber would drop right off the end. So the waste would go this way, and the non-ferrous would go over the car.
So what would you say when it comes through and what you call ferrous? What percent is ferrous? 100%?
75.
75?
Yeah.
That you shipping transport?
75%. Say out of a ton that we bought?
No. No, after the truck material that's coming to Searsport.
Yeah.
Is that 100% ferrous? Yes. 99% ferrous?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
You didn't phrase it right. It's 100% ferrous.
Yeah.
What, do you have a certain amount of tonnage you get had before it's loaded onto a ship, or do you just have to wait until a ship is full?
We normally sell anywhere between 20,000 ton and 25,000 ton.
Okay, per shipment?
Per ship, that's correct.
Okay.
So what kind of truck traffic do you anticipate?
The trucks, I anticipate anywhere between 20 and 30 a day, maybe. And ships, we're hoping to get to much. I don't believe that that'll take place here for a long time, but that's what we would like to get to.
Is that year-round schedule, or does it have slow times, busy times?
Well, in the scheme, the winter months are a little bit slow because you don't get as much scrap because of the snow and cold. So our in-feed isn't as much.
We employees on site, or the people driving the truck in, do they do the unloading? How does it work?
Well, we would have, to begin with, we would have at least two employees on site to offload, stockpile, and make sure everything's fine.
Would they have any share, or are they just using Sprague's facilities? Or
just using Sprague's facilities for the time being, yes.
Okay.
Any questions, further questions for how the material moves from Tom to here to the ship?
I think I have one more question for the gentleman. Okay, it's in the pile. The ships come in. You're gonna move your rock loader over to the dock, and then you stack it at the dock, and then you move it, and then the ship moves it into the ship. How do you prevent any of it from going into the water?
Well, we try to build a thing that goes over the edge of the dock.
Mm-hmm.
So that anything that falls out of a grapple or anything like that, would it, a piece of metal back onto the door.
Okay. And if it misses, you get it out of there?
We would have to go in with a magnet and clean the water, yes.
Okay.
Put that up every time you do a load, carry barrier?
That is correct.
Okay.
And I've read it. You put something down on the dock that protects the dock, and then everything on top of it?
That is correct.
And then you remove those plates? We're done? Okay.
I thought you were going to elaborate this a little more. When you're piling it on the dock, about an area, does that take that plate that goes down, piling it? And it seems like there should be any reason why any of it should be going into the water if you've got a plate on there going toward the ship or the dock.
The only time anything go in the water is when the grapple hooks it from the dock and it's swinging it over. If something should have to fall out of it and it didn't hit a plate, or the plate wasn't in the proper position.
And the first part of my question was, how big an area are you piling this on?
The ships usually have five holes, so there would be five sets of plates on the dock, and we would be dumping silently each hole.
And the plate, how big an area would you dump on?
It'd be 40 by 40. 30 by 30, excuse me. 30 by 30.
What measures do you take to control dust?
Well, we do have dust busters that we can spray the piles with. we're not sure how much I would have to use. So it'd be trial and error here.
Now, I think spraying requires some permit.
No, we do not. That's why I'm saying we do trial and error first before we get it all down right. We do.
What does a duster consist of?
It's just a spray of water.
Just water.
Yeah.
Pure water.
That's correct.
Leading question on this is that water after it goes vile?
You go into the spray system.
Let's say for the record, what is that system? Why don't you look up your name and...
On
the microphone.
Well, I'm there, right? I'm a little bit of a former sitter, so...
Yep.
Might not want me near a microphone.
But you're on TV too.
Well, that's good. I'm Jason Little for Sprague. I'm our environmental compliance health and safety manager. So as far as the water is concerned, how we handle contracts like this is we just see it as we are leasing a pad to Grimmel, but all of the environmental liability after that we retain. We have the state waste discharge license and a MEP permit. So we continue that permit. The pad that they're going to be on is designed, was previously designed for coal. So the pad sloped. The water would go off in one direction into a cul-de-sac, and then it goes into drainage, comes out into a retention pond, which is a couple thousand gallons probably. The retention pond is asphalt lamp impervious. It has a gooseneck so that anything settles, and then it would go to a second retention pond that's smaller, valve controlled, and then that would go out to the ocean eventually. And then this would be a permitted outfall, so then we're required, we do quarterly testing. The state will come back, they'll amend our permit for seal. There'll be parameters that we'll do quarterly test of the water to, you know, stay with the hold. State inspects it. So there's a multi-system before the water would be transferred out of there. Anything that comes off that pad goes into the retention pond.
Do you expect any some additional testing material because you're handling ferrous scrap?
Yeah, so the state will dictate. Once the product's on there, our permit would be amended, and then they'll tell us whatever the state regulations are to test for that product, which it's mostly going to be. Oil water, or oils, and then whatever metals that's required. I'm not 100% familiar right now with what the parameters will be. Any other environmental I'm here?
Once this goes through these retention ponds, is there like any last filters or anything this goes get out any material before it goes into the ocean?
No.
So it'd be so clean, I can put a cup under there, last thing, and I can drink it.
I don't know what the end is. No, you know, and I mean, the threshold's pretty strict for any of the tests that we do. It's modern.
Okay, I would drink first.
Yeah.
It probably won't take.
I don't drink any water, they're just going over the ground, and, you know, it's just storm water.
Do you ever cover these piles?
No.
You mentioned dust, you know, when dust appears. Where's the origin of this dust?
Material, mostly.
Yep. Where's the origin in the process in Sisport?
Because of proximity to the water, I would say the salt water, the scrap will rust after a time, and then it will be a little rusty.
What about your handling process? Dumping of the trucks, both the trailers and the big rock.
The process coming out of Topsom, it's practically brand new shiny, so there's no dust. There might be a little bit of dust when we dump on the dock, yes.
But what's in the pile?
Yeah.
You talk about maybe you have to spray it with dust or something.
Yeah.
That's because the oxidation, well, let's say, but it's only going to be there about a month, right?
That's the most. We hope, yes.
And there'd be that much oxidation, and then wind currents would blow it off. Am I correct?
Well, not, I don't think it would blow it off. It would be from when it's moved.
So when the pile is sitting there, there shouldn't be any dust coming off, is it?
That's correct.
But when you disturb the pile, generate dust.
I would say yes.
Now, have you ever had dust problems with any of the other sites that you've operated? This is not a brand new, you've been in this for quite a while.
We did have a dust problem in Forest, yes.
Okay. And how would that be different here than down there?
For one thing, the scrap was on the property line in Portsmouth, and the neighbors were right direct, and they didn't like the dust.
Here are the problem.
We have piles.
Now, I read a document from EPA that said you weren't allowed to water the piles, but you did it anyway.
Well, that's not true.
Okay. And the government document is difficult to read, and, you know, so I be very glad to hear your side of the story.
We applied for a non-stormwater discharge. Right? We received a letter from the state stating that they had received our application. After a year went by, that's when they said that we would need something new.
So you stopped?
We finally got a permit.
Okay.
Well, the solution was also to create a closed loop system. So when they were spraying on the piles, that water would run off. It was collected, pumped into a separate, basically looked like a tanker truck.
Okay.
And that water was then the source to spray more out, so that water that was being sprayed never discharged to the river. That way there was,
okay.
What EPA regulates is the discharge of a pollutant to a water body. And if there's no discharge, you don't need a permit for that aspect of it. There's a stormwater discharge that's another issue. But when you're spraying the piles, the EPA says that's not stormwater. Now, all it is drinking water as opposed to rainwater that's landing on the pile and running off. It's a fairly the same, very similar kind of
system. So the kind of system we have here in Sears where it would go, it'd be recirculated through and then sprayed back on. And
we could do that, yes.
Would you?
Yes.
So if we included that as a conclusion, you'd have no problem.
How about your hours of operation?
Hours of operation.
Yeah. Let's take first of all, what are you going to be receiving material?
7 to 3:30, Monday to Friday. Then loading a ship, we would start at 6 in the morning to 7 in the morning and end at 7 o'clock at night.
How long do
you
do that?
Beg pardon?
How long do you do that?
There's noise, no question about it, but it's not over the decibel levels of any industrial zone.
Is it just anonymous
noise?
I don't know what I've ever heard.
But to tell you the truth, I don't know how to explain it to you. The material is dumped in truck, and then the truck drives to the dock and dumps it out on the dock. And the grapple picks it up and put. I think the most noise would be when the dumping it onto the dock isn't that loud of a thing. When it all gets it, it's not that loud once it goes into the ship because it's dropping down 75 feet into a hole. Beg your pardon? Yeah, right. We start from the bottom and work our way. That's correct.
Are you seeing operations in Portsmouth?
We are. We have.
You're not there anymore. This is going to replace the ports operation.
That's correct.
Because when I looked at the picture of Portsmouth, it looked like you were sort of on 0.5 feet water all the way. Where did you run?
Actually.
Yeah, okay. And it looked like the stuff wanted up to the edges of it. More so than what you're asking for.
It was we had a 2.5 acre rented piece of property there that we had, and it was burned.
Okay.
It's a very site down in Portsmouth. The river runs right by it. The pile could have been, 50 feet from the river at different points, even closer at different points. Then you go across the city street and a whole series of condominium residences.
Yeah, it looked like a road right through the middle of your operation.
Well, yeah. The road runs right past it. Yeah. So it's a very urban set, right down in the middle of what Portsmouth has, it's their tourist. Right. It's right at the beginning of their tourist area. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very different kind of site than Magpul.
Okay.
I think it might be worth noting, even at a small site like that, we're not aware of ever having a noise complaint. People did get concerned about the dust, and that's why they instituted the system to manage that. But we're not aware of any noise issues. Maybe there were people who were unhappy about them and no one talked with the city about it or something, but it never got as far as to Grimmel.
Most of your operations be what would be considered normal day, 7 in the morning, 7 at night?
I thought you said one of them, truck would be 7, 3:30, yeah.
In time, and then ship loading would be 6 to 7.
Right. So it'll be fairly quiet night after, let's say, after 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
You've got about 2 and a quarter down there, right?
Yeah.
Again, I know it's a heavy material, and so I don't know how it wakes up to cover a big area, but how much of that stuff do you expect to cover? With normal power, when you're looking for get 25,000 ton there.
It'll take a good portion, 2 and a quarter acres, yes.
It will?
Yeah.
And what height do you have that?
50 feet.
And that would you deal with the crane, with the grapple crane?
That is correct.
Going back to noise, Mr. Littlefield, do you know how far there be from in South residential areas?
The closest home outside of the terminal would be 24 feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Going on a noise level, we don't have anything on decibel. Can you kind of equate it with, let's say, you talk about with the rock trucks. We get a little bit of a nice load of gravel into a dump truck. How's it get to that? How's it get a chainsaw running? Some other things like that. Layman's terms, without decibels.
Well, the shredded material isn't noisy at all.
Is it?
When you load it or when you dump it, it really isn't. I mean, you just hear a shush, basically. The cut grade materials, that's where you hear the noise, and you would hear at a time a bucket dump load into a truck. And then probably a little bit when it dumps out onto the plate.
Let me ask.
Go ahead, George.
So then what you're saying is if we put a condition of 60 or 70 dBs on your application, 60 during the night and 70 during the day, at a residential area, you would have no problem following that.
We're not going to work at night anytime, so it doesn't nighttime one.
Okay, so it'd be 7 from
the 75 decibel level was the industrial.
No. Say 70.
Okay, well, whatever the state is. Yes.
You would have no problem with that.
The line, is that?
No.
That's how the system works.
It's at the residential line.
That's the property line.
Well, yeah.
It's okay. Because I'm just making sure not the area that Grimmel is using. It's at the edge of the property boundary.
Yes, we're talking residential property.
Right, understood. Okay.
You have commercial property abutting it, or other industrial property.
Right.
You said it was approximately 2,400 feet to the nearest residential homes. I know there's not many of them down there, but there are a few houses on it. The gentleman from Sprague, I think. Is another 20. So from your property line, then it's 400 feet to a resident?
From the pad,
it's 2,400 feet. Okay.
We really didn't follow down the application. We got going on the whole thing there. A new address, the performance. We have the pad, we have the din pond, we have traffic coming in, but going for noise, some other things. Any other comments before we start going down through things?
No, not right now.
Give the sales pitch on it. Other board member, Lay, you've been quiet. Everyone else all set? The one I neglected time on you know, town staff, agencies, they all reported back on it. The fire chief didn't know what type of metal would be used. And our emergency management director. There still be a corridor for fire apparatus to access the back of the Irving Oil facility. Do you want to address that one, Bud? Or ask a question? How do you get, you know, how you get there now? And
yes, and since I wrote that comment, I've had a chance to talk with the Paul Berrigan and people from Sprague. The way we get there now is when there's a coal pile there, there's room around the edge of the pad for us to go and get in through the back gate that goes into the Irving Oil facility. And when I talked to Paul, that vehicle access would still be available because our safety plan allows us to the back end of the Sprague property to the backside of those tanks.
Your concern is satisfied then?
My concern is satisfied.
You. Planning board, have any more questions at this time for the then? Are there any government officials that wish to question the applicant or speak? Local state. Randy, you're covered too. I know you're in trouble.